It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A study by Harvard University researchers reveals we're not ready to provide housing and care for a surging population of aging people in Wisconsin and nationwide. We examine the findings about affordable housing and care in the senior years, and you could be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share your insights at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jennifer Molinsky is project director of the Housing and Aging Society program at the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. Jennifer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Your research shows a growing population of older adults with low incomes are eligible for government housing assistance, but they're not getting it. They're not receiving that assistance. What might be causing these gaps in access?
Well, housing assistance is not an entitlement program, and only about a third of older adults who are eligible for it actually receive it. And the rest are, you know, people who are on waiting lists, very long sometimes, or doubled up, or just paying in excess of 50% of their income for housing. So it's a pretty significant problem, and it's growing as our older population expands.
What does it mean for an older adult to pay 30-50% of their income for housing? What does it mean to be cost burdened?
Yeah, that's right. So 11.2 million older adults households are in this situation of paying more than 30% of their income for housing. And especially those who have lower incomes, it often means cutting back on food. We know that people cut back on healthcare, out-of-pocket healthcare, so they might not fill prescriptions. They might be in unsuitable housing situations, substandard housing, that kind of a thing. So the repercussions are significant to health and well-being.
When an aging adult is on a fixed income, can you explain how that is expensive over time as we watch housing costs, keep rising and rising?
Right. So in older age, people on fixed incomes are not immune from rising housing costs, as you know. And so we have a growing number of older homeowners who are carrying mortgages into their 80s and beyond. So, and this means that their housing costs each month are high. They're not, you know, dropping to the low rate that people who've paid off their mortgages can have. Renters are seeing rising housing costs even as their incomes are fixed or even decline in older age. So this is a worrying thing because we know that the population 80 and over is growing very rapidly. We expect at the Joint Center that the households that are headed by someone 80 and over will double in the next 20 years. And this is a time when people need not only affordable housing, but they also need care and supports to stay in that house.
You know, I think you put out this report every couple years, a biennial report. Do you find that the numbers are trending worse, or are they plateauing as you look at the number of older Americans who are in this fix of not being able to afford their housing?
The rate that it's about a third of older households have been in this position for the last five or so years. It's okay. Peaked during the Great Recession, mm-hmm. but the numbers keep growing. And that's just because we have so many more older households. And I think also because we have a widening income disparity. So there are more people who are really struggling to keep up, you know, just like with the population as a whole, the highest earners have seen marked income growth over the last decade. But those who are at the bottom of the income distribution have seen, you know, losses actually in real terms.
We're talking about the need to support a growing number of older Americans. Jennifer Molinsky is with us, project director of the Housing and Aging Society program. That's at Harvard University. You can join in with questions. You can share your experiences at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jennifer, your research shows more government funding could help older and low-income people to cover their housing and healthcare costs. What could be the different roles of state and local government to address these needs for housing and providing in-home care?
Right. So at the state level, state Medicaid programs often provide home and community-based services. So for people who need help bathing or dressing or with upkeep of the home, that kind of thing, shopping, those are not entitlement programs, even though Medicaid is itself, you know, if you're income eligible, you can receive it. But these are extra programs that are only provided, you know, in the same way that housing assistance is really on a first come first serve basis. You have to qualify and then maybe get on a waiting list in many places. So there's room for expanding that. I think the other thing we need to think about at the local level is more housing options. So we know that a lot of people are living in inaccessible housing, that the needs for, you know, no step entry, curbless showers, that kind of thing grow with age. And yet there's very few options for people to leave their single family home that may be inaccessible because that is the least accessible housing type, and move into something else in their community. Barring that, we also need some more support to help people modify their homes.
What is the breakdown a bit of adults who are either living in their home or have moved out to some sort of long-term care assisted living versus another type of sent up or even renting? What do you find there in the breakdown?
Nationally, about 80% of older households are homeowners, and the rest are renters. Those are households, people who head their own household. And we find that the vast majority of older adults do head their own household. So it's most people are living in a home that they own or rent with by themselves or with a spouse. That's the biggest group. Then there's a set that are living in their own home with extended family, so multi-generationally. About 9 million or so folks live in their own home with family. And then we've got another almost 5 million who are living with their children and or other people in their homes. It's a very small percentage. Only 2.5% of older adults, 65 and over, are in nursing homes or other institutional quarters like that. Assisted living is a bit harder to parse out just because that's data the census doesn't collect quite that way. But we know that the vast majority are living in age-integrated traditional communities.
Wisconsin being one of the states that has so far declined federal Medicaid expansion funds authorized under the Affordable Care Act, would expanding the scope of people eligible for Medicaid assistance, would that help the older and lower income people?
Yes, absolutely. It would definitely, because most older adults really have fairly modest incomes, and there's big differences in wealth, of course, but incomes really tend to decline and converge with age. So when you start out looking at owners and renters and different household configurations, there's a wide, you know, range of incomes among people in their 40s and 50s. But over time, they decline and they converge. And the median income for older adults in Wisconsin, for instance, is $45,000. And it's not too different for renters or for owners with mortgages or owners without mortgages. So, so you see this convergence, and so there's just a lot that of need at that level. More and more people will be able to qualify, and we need to support that. But that we would need, in addition to that, the home and community-based services, the part of Medicaid that will support people with these services and supports in their homes.
What are some community-based alternatives to nursing homes? I mean, you mentioned just a small segment of older Americans being in nursing homes or longer-term care settings.
Yeah, right. So we certainly see a growing interest in multi-generational households. So that's, you know, you're living with extended family under one roof. But there's also, you know, some growing interest in co-living. And so that's where people have their own apartment or housing unit, but they share some common spaces and community. And people are really attracted to that because of its community aspect. We see more interest in house sharing. So this is people who are roommates at older age, or and they could be older people living with older people, but they can also be older people living with younger people. And we certainly see that around college towns where that can work really well. We see a growing examples of service enriched housing, which is not quite assisted living, but it's a place where you have your own apartment and there might be meals once or twice a week. There might be a 24-hour presence of staff in case there's an emergency, recreational opportunities, that kind of thing. And that model has really grown up among the subsidized, the lower income residential population. So what we're seeing now is assisted living looking to that model and seeing what they can do to make that work for middle-income people. It's actually harder in some cases to make it work for middle-income people because the lower income is able to take advantage of different housing and other subsidies.
Jennifer Malinsky is project director of the Housing and Aging Society program at Harvard, out with a study on meeting the housing and healthcare needs of the nation's rapidly aging population. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We unpack a new report by Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies that finds our nation is ill-equipped to provide affordable housing and adequate care for the growing number of older people in Wisconsin and nationwide. You can be part of this conversation. Call in with a question. Add your perspective. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jennifer Malinsky is with us, project director at the Housing and Aging Society program at Harvard. Jennifer, let's explore this multi-generational housing and multi-generational households and what you're finding. What are the shifts going on here that are leading to such diverse housing situations?
Yeah, about one in five older adults lives in a multi-generational setting, which means they are living with another adult generation that they're related to. And what we see is that there's a growing number of households in this category, especially driven by the increased diversity of the population. So Hispanic and Asian households are more likely to live multi-generationally, and we certainly see that reflected in the data. At the same time, though, just demographically, because we have more and more people in their 80s and beyond, we're also simultaneously seeing this rise in people who are living alone. So it really speaks to very different housing needs, different care situations and the like.
Can you discuss the disparities you found among older adults of color being affected by the costs of aging more than white households?
Yeah, we know that there are significant gaps in income and in wealth. One of the big drivers of that is a big gap in home ownership in later life. So it's a 19 percentage point difference between white older households and Black older households in terms of ownership. But then even among older owners, the equity that is held by each household is quite different. So older adults of color tend to have less housing equity, even if they are also owners, and to have more of their wealth tied up in their homes. So that can make it a little bit harder to access. It's less liquid. And then again, the renters, first of all, have about 2% of the wealth of older homeowners. But then there's wide disparities in that as well with median income or median wealth of renters for Black households was about $4,000, for Hispanic households about $3,000. And, you know, overall, it was $10,000 in net wealth for renters.
You know, as property taxes come due, even if the equity is built up in owning that home, there are also the property taxes that are there. And even I know here in Wisconsin, there are some low interest loans for seniors that qualify. But you know, that too would probably in the future be an issue as people on fixed income may not be able to afford those property taxes rising.
That's right. When we look at the housing cost burdens and the affordability challenges, it's the things that make up your housing costs are your rent payment or your mortgage payment, but also your property taxes, your utilities, your insurance. And we see that people who've paid off their mortgage and, you know, are otherwise in good shape are can become cost burdened and challenged by rising property taxes, by in many places, especially in the South and in places that have seen a lot of disasters, property insurance rates have gone through the roof. So those things can put someone in peril, you know, even as much as housing costs can, and utilities as well. Utility costs are a big one, and a lot of people are you know, utility cost burdened.
Jennifer Malinsky with us, Project Director at Housing and Aging Society Program at Harvard. You can join in, questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Nancy is with us in Madison. Nancy, hi, go ahead.
Yes, I would like the speaker to speak to the situation for people with major disabilities and the fact that their incomes are super low, like they're way below the $45,000 average that I heard mentioned earlier. They could be $13,000 a year or $14,000 a year, but they might have a home ownership in one way or another. But then they can not have more than $1,999 a month in savings and in checking. So I would like the speaker and other speakers to always include that population because it's way outside of what is usually spoken to.
So Nancy, thank you. Yes, and I want Jennifer to address that. Jennifer, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy. That's it's an excellent point. We do see that the incidence of disability rises with age. So, you know, of course, it's an important issue at all ages, but it becomes a more salient issue among people 80 and over, and that's the population that we're looking at. And so Nancy's point is really well taken, that this is the issues of very low income, accessible housing, the need for services and supports, those are just going to be growing as we see more and more people in their 80s and over with disabilities.
Let's go to Julia in Madison. Julia, hi, what would you like to bring up?
Hi, thank you. I think there's an issue at hand that we need to look at also as a nation, is that in reading in the Wall Street Journal in October of this year, officials with the State Department of Housing and Urban Development are saying older adults, our senior population, are the fastest growing segment of the homeless population in our nation. And I think that trickles back way back to what are our cities honestly doing to make affordable housing. I personally believe here in Madison, they are not addressing the issue. But I think, you know, we're seeing the greater number of homelessness in the elderly, but I think we need to step way, way back. And what are we really proactively providing for those individuals that can no longer afford to live in their homes, because a big part of it is taxes and the cost of living.
Julia, thank you. Jennifer, can you bring up the issues with homelessness?
Yeah, that's thank you for raising that. We've seen older adult homelessness increase by 10,000 people between 2019 and 2021. It's now more than 60,000 older adults who are unhoused. And I think the important thing is when we're thinking about people who are housing insecure or who don't have housing, we really need to look to younger ages, because the state of being unhoused is so stressful that people present with health issues of someone much older, which brings up, you know, the fact that we need to have different services and different supports for people who are going through this, that they may have needs that shelters just can't provide. Most shelters, for instance, aren't accessible. So it's a really important and growing issue. And to the housing piece, yes, I mean, we have certainly seen here in the Boston area, people who have long time rented their homes, you know, 20 years, they're paying consistent rents, but then their building gets sold, and that flipping of the building leads to some incredible rent increase, and then people become unhoused. And so there's many reasons people become unhoused, but there is a really important housing piece that we can do better at, we can address.
Jennifer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Jennifer Malinsky, Project Director of the Housing and Aging Society Program at the Joint Center for Housing Studies, that's at Harvard University. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.